Senator Jacobson is in Lincoln, but he's on our phone lines. And good morning, Senator. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Jack. How are you guys today?
We're doing fantastic.
Well.
So you're 3 days now into the session, and just kind of give us a brief outlook. What things have you noticed from session the first 3 days, and things our listeners can expect?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I was really a little nervous going into the session because one of the first things that happens after we elect officers and committee chairs is the chair of the Committee on Committees convenes those members, and then we determine where the rest of the senators, what committees they sit on. And there's a lot of thought that goes into that, but that's when you see the most partisan aspect of the unicameral, when it does matter whether you're Republican or Democrat, and some don't want to use those terms. They want to say progressives and conservatives, but but the truth is that's when you're going to determine, after you've elected the chairs, then you start looking at how many votes do you have on a committee, even if you're the chair, to be able to get legislation out of committee or how to keep it in committee. So what happens is we break down into three caucuses, first, second, and third caucus. They generally run along lines similar to congressional districts. So the third caucus is out west, the second caucus is Omaha, and the first caucus is that sliver that includes, Lincoln, and then a little bit north and south of Lincoln. So what happened this year is, and what's happened historically, is that the third caucus historically has had all Republicans in the caucus. This year it's a little bit different because Dan Quick was elected from Grand Island, so he's the lone Democrat in the third caucus. So when it comes to selecting who's going to serve on the Committee on Committees, the third caucus has always appointed three Republicans, and I'm one of those. The first caucus is Lincoln, and north, a little bit north and south. The first caucus is split predominantly Republican, but it's not 50-50, but it's the Republicans have two or three additional members. But historically, the first caucus has divided their Committee on Committee representatives equally, two and two. And then the second caucus in Omaha has one more Democrat than Republican. And they, too, historically have split their Committee on Committee representatives two and two. They also appoint who's going to serve on the executive board. And so the third caucus is historically appointed both would be Republicans. I'm one of those two that serves from the third caucus. And first and second have done the same thing. They've split it one and one. So this year, the first caucus set their date to meet. Third caucus met back in Kearney when we had our legislative meetings. The second caucus deferred when they were going to meet. And they waited and waited. Finally met just a few days before the session. And the second caucus decided to appoint all four Democrats on the Committee on Committees and filled both the exec board spots with Democrats. So that meant that they kicked off two Republicans from the Committee on Committee, and they kicked off one member of the exec board to pack it with Democrats. Now, I don't know that it made a lot of sense because the numbers still favored the Republicans, but nonetheless, that's what they did. And then when it came to committee assignments, each caucus decides who's going to serve on which committee to the extent that they can. In other words, we first start with the committee chair. So whoever is the committee chair, whatever caucus they're from, let's just say that the committee chair is from the second caucus, then in order to select who's going to be on the committee, the third caucus then would have the first choice as to who they want to place on the committee. Then it would rotate to the first caucus, then the second caucus, and then third. And you keep doing that until the committee fills. So that's the process in terms of filling it. When we go through that, everyone wants to try to game, you know, how many they want to stack the committees to the extent that they won, particularly the important committees. And so that's when we got into the real meat of the situation, that we were able to agree on most of the committees except the government committee, because the second caucus was able to add three members to the to that particular committee. So if the other caucuses had another person of the same party, then they would have, then they would basically make it a tie vote in the committee. So there was a lot of hoopla back and forth on that. And ultimately, given the bills that are going to be assigned to committee, that to the government committee this year, which would be winner take all, probably sports and spaces, could be other committee, could be other bills that haven't been introduced yet. I think the Republicans on the committee on committees wanted to have a 5-vote, which is what they have today. It's a 5-3 committee. And so that got pretty ugly in terms of our discussions. Ultimately, we ended up making an agreement, and there were two or three senators that weren't very happy with their assignments, but we needed to do it to come up with the outcome that we were working for. And so I hope that that will be the last of the of those kind of controversies. I would tell you two senators that weren't real happy were Senator Raybould and Senator Conrad. And I did have conversations with both of them afterwards, and I think they're going to be fine moving forward. But I just feel, to the extent that we can avoid controversial bills early, and we can stay away from some of this, I guess, partisanship out of, and we can get that behind us, I think we'll be in a better position to, you know, move legislation forward and have a good session. So, knock on wood, I think that's where we are now. We went through that first big hurdle. Glad to have that behind us. And so now we're just into bill introduction. I think I introduced 5 bills the first week, and I've got several more to introduce. I'll be adding a few more as we move towards the end, but I'm guessing I may have somewhere between 12 and 15 bills when we're done. Some of them I can decide whether or not I want to reassign them to somebody else. So I'm trying to limit the number of bills I introduce, because that will give me more time to focus on chairing the banking committee and making sure the bills I have can get passed. So that's really where I'm at. So that's where we've been so far.
Okay.
Fantastic. And is 12 to 15 bills, is that typically an average number for one senator to introduce at the Senate or at the legislation?
Well, we did pass, I think, in the rules debate a year ago, that you have a maximum now of 20 bills that you can introduce to any one senator. And I would say most senators probably, if you were going to look at a mean average, it would probably be around 10. You've got some that, I mean, literally we had Mike McDonnell a year ago that introduced 60 bills. Senator Bostar, I think, sent 100 bills to bill drafters. So that's why that limit came in. And then you got some that don't introduce any, or one or two, you know. So it really kind of depends. You got to understand that when you introduce a bill, you've got to take it to committee, work it through committee, You've got to work your bills to get them passed, and that takes a lot of time. And you have limited time when you've got other duties. And so I've always kind of found if your goal is to introduce a bill and pass it, then you better limit how many you introduce. If your goal is just to introduce a bunch of bills and hope they pass, well, then you can probably go higher. But that's not been my style.
Fantastic.
Well, whatever it takes, Senator. There's times when I think, listening to how they were trying to divide things up and play politics with it, as I think I could get more done with a class of kindergartners.
Well, I would guarantee you that would be the case at times. Okay,
yeah,
there's no question about that. But that's the process, and so there are some games that get played. But one thing I always kind of look at is, you know, when it comes to the social bills, the gun bills, the tax bills, that kind of falls down, you know, political lines. Okay. But a lot of the other bills, you know, it really, really doesn't matter much what political party you are. You know, we work well together. We get legislation passed. Then you start running into rural versus urban, and you got some other natural divides that occur. I always get I read a lot about why haven't we fixed property taxes? Well, I would tell you that there have been a lot of things done to generate additional property tax relief. The problem is that we've continued to see local spending going up through local political subdivisions, predominantly the school systems. And I'm not saying that the school systems are wasting money. Their costs are going up as well. But it's not an easy fix. If it was, it would have been done long before. I get a kick out of the people that say fix it, but they don't have any better ideas on how to fix it. And I think that I've kind of read in some cases, well, you need to, where school systems are 60% of your tax bill, then maybe you just need to limit how much they spend. And it's like, well, that again is easier said than done. Because what if they have a big influx of new students? What if they have more special ed students? What if they have other unique situations that occur? Then they're out of money. And then what are they supposed to do? You know, so, and then the last I heard, there are people that still argue that they want local control. And the school boards are elected locally. And they're the ones who really manage the administration. And so there are people that say, keep your hands out of this. This is a local issue. But yet our property taxes continue to go higher. So the legislature is going to have to get more involved in school spending, but we've got to do it in a smart way so that we can still deliver quality education throughout the state. And I would tell you, get too aggressive, the schools that would be hurt the most are the rural schools, not the urban schools. So that's why I think we got to be very thoughtful in how we approach this. And I know it's a lot of people are frustrated. I get that. I'm frustrated. My property taxes are way too high. But I think that the state has also generated additional dollars to go into reducing your property taxes. People saw that on their property tax statements this year. And so the state is doing what they can at this point. I know we need to do more and we will be doing more, but we've also got to do our part at the local level. And that's going to have to be part of this mix as well.
Very well.
Fantastic talking to you with Senator Mike Jacobson. And Senator, really any final thoughts you have heading into another for the first full week of the session?
Well, I just mentioned a couple things. I was elected chair of the Banking, Commerce, and Insurance Committee. So all of the committee chairs have designated offices. So my new office number is 1117. And that office, if you come in the south entrance of the Capitol, you hang a left and then it's the first right. That's the banking committee office. I do have a new legislative aide. Her name is Tori Osborne. So she's replaced Joe Murray. Joe has gone to work then with newly elected Senator Dan McEwen. So there's that change. And I would tell you that Christina Kaneko has continued to continue to serve as my AA, administrative assistant. And then Joshua Crystalier is the committee counsel for the Banking, Commerce, and Insurance Committee. So I've got a little bit bigger staff now, bigger office, and more room to meet with people. So from that standpoint, I'm very, very encouraged by the things I think we can get done. So we'll see what happens. So stay tuned.
Very good. All right. Well, Senator, we appreciate the time as always for you making time out of your Monday morning to chat with us. And best of luck.
Sure.
Hopefully a smooth week here in the down in Lincoln.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate talking to you. I may be in studio next week. All right. If we're meeting, I don't know whether we're.
Yes, we do. We are planning on it. I know it is MLK Day, but we are planning on it. Yes.
I plan to be in North Platte over the weekend, so that'll work.
Well, we'll hope to
see
you.
Thanks a lot, guys.